chapter 38 of Genesis, verse 1. And it came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Adullamite, whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite, whose name was Shua. And he took her and went in to her. And she conceived and bare a son, and he called his name Ur. She conceived again and bare a son, and she called his name Onan. And she again conceived and bare a son and called his name Shelah. And he was at Shezib, when she bare him. And Judah took a wife for Ur, his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. And Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. And Judah said to Onan, Go into thy brother's wife and marry her, and raise up seed to thy brother. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his, and it came to pass when he went into his brother's wife that he spilled it on the ground, lest he should give her seed to his seed to his brother. And the thing that he did displeased the Lord, therefore the Lord slew him. Then said Judah to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, Remain a widow at thy father's house till Shelah, my son, be grown. For he said, Lest peradventure he die also, as his brethren did. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. And the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died, and Judah was comforted and went up to his sheep shearers to Timnah, he and his friend Hira the Adullamite. And it was told Tamar, saying, Behold, thy father-in-law goes up to Timnah to shear his sheep. And she put her widow's garments off from her and covered her with a veil and wrapped herself and sat in an open place, which is by the way to Timnah. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given him to wife. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot because she had covered her face, and he turned to her by the way and said, Go to, I pray thee, let me come into thee, for he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, What wilt thou give me that thou mayest come into me? And he said, I will send you a kid from the flock. And she said, Wilt thou give me a pledge till you send it? And he said, What pledge shall I give you? And she said, Thy signet and thy bracelets and thy staff that is in thy hand. And he gave it to her, and he came into her, and she conceived him by him. And she arose and went away and laid by her veil from her and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the kid by the hand of a friend, the Adullamite, to receive his pledge from the woman's hand, but he found her not. Then he asked the men of that place, saying, Where is the harlot that was openly by the wayside? And they said, There was no harlot in this place. And he returned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. Also the men of the place said that there was no harlot in this place. And Judah said, Let her take it to her, lest we be shamed. Behold, I sent this kid, and thou hast not found her. And it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told to Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, had played the harlot, and also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, Bring her forth, and let her be burnt. When she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, By the man who these are, am I with child. And she said, Discern, I pray thee, whose these signet and bracelet and staff are. And Judah acknowledged him and said, She hath been more righteous than I, because that I gave her not to Shelah, my son. And he knew her no more. And it came to pass at that time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass when she travailed that one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon the hand a scarlet thread, saying, This came out first. And it came to pass, as he drew back his hand, that, behold, his brother came out. And she said, How hast thou broken forth? This breach is upon you. Therefore his name was called Perez. And afterwards came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zerah. As I had a discussion with someone about this, they said, Where did this chapter come from? How did it get in this position? It's like we're going somewhere, and all of a sudden there's something changed. Well, there is something changed, and there's a reason. God put these things in order, and I know people can say, man made this book. No, man wrote down the words that God inspired him to write. And I think even though the Council of Nicene had a lot of effect, and all these Catholic people had a lot of effect on what was done, but if we think that man designed this book, we've got a real problem in our thinking process. Because God controls the thoughts of all man, does he not? So whether it's positive or negative, and I think God had this book put down exactly like he wants, and he wants us to study to show ourselves approved, to do a little homework, to do a little study and research, and experience this stuff. So I don't believe for 1 minute that humans just put this together on their own. That's someone that wants to believe an easy way, and I'm not there. Okay, we're talking about Judah now. Who was Judah? He was a half-brother to Joseph, one of Jacob's sons. And it said Judah went down from his brethren. Now notice, Judah was with the brethren, but he went what direction? He went down. He didn't go up. He didn't ascend. He went back the other way. He went to the realm of death, to the worldly realm. And he turned into a certain Adullamite. And this word Adullamite, you know what it means? It means justice for the people. So the justice of the people comes through the fleshly realms, does it not? So when you go back down into the dust realm, what are you going to find there? You're going to find some justice. You reap what you sow. Whose name was Hira, which means a noble race. Well, see, the only thing wrong with humanity was it was flesh. God needed that, did he not? That's why it was there. He didn't need a perfect flesh to train the spirit, because there's no such thing as that. He needed flesh that was imperfect, that made mistakes and sensed and experienced different things so they could find out the difference between God and good. Not good and evil, but God and good. Don't be satisfied with anything less than God in your life. And Judah saw, right, bare a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua, and he took her and went into her. What does Shua mean? So he saw a Canaanite whose name was Shua, or her nature was she was wealthy. He saw that in the natural realm there was a lot of things to be gained. True or false? In the natural, can you gain a lot of substance? But what does it mean in the end? I've preached a lot of funerals, been to a lot of funerals, and I've never seen a U-Haul on the back of the hearse yet. Have you? They're not taking it with you. Somebody else's as soon as you just got temporary possession at best. Everything belongs to the Father. But anyway, so he saw that through this natural relationship, out of this soulish relationship, rather than going to the higher realm of the spirit, he went down to the earthly realm, to the flesh realm, and he took a daughter of the Adullamite, and he went into her, and she conceived and bare a son, and he called his name Ur. Ur means to be watchful or awake. Now, does the book not say that you'll reap what you sow? He went to the flesh and sowed to the flesh, and what did he reap? Flesh. Is it any different in our lives? Now, it's not just say, well, we go out and plant corn, we're going to get corn. We're not talking about the natural, we're talking about the spiritual. If I want to live my life and live in the natural realm, then what am I going to reap, natural or spiritual? It's going to be natural stuff. See, I got to get beyond thinking that the natural is telling me exactly what's going on. Natural is a shadow and a type of the spiritual. But I'm going to tell you what, the book says this, he wants us to be happy, healthy, and prosperous as our soul, or literally spirit, prospers. As my spirit matures. Jesus learned things through the things he suffered. As he learned and matured in spirit. See, his spirit was not learned yet. He had the Spirit of God in him, yes. But that spirit had not experienced all the things of life, had it? We have to experience. He is our pattern. If he learned through obedience through the things he suffered, then what are we going to do? We have to follow the same pattern and realize the experience of life teaches you who you really are. See, because these things in here, that's next week. We'll get into that later. The focus has changed. Life is a test. And a test is not given to teach you something, to show you what you don't know. A test is given to you to reveal what you do know. Isn't that right? So God gives you these tests in life to reveal to you what your true identity is. Because that's the only thing we're going to learn in life. All these other little issues or side issues are just side issues. The true thing, once you understand that you are a son of God, that's the issue. Jesus was not some special person that I can never be like. He was my older brother. And my older brother has the same DNA that I have. He has the same father that I have, same DNA. And he wouldn't tell me to be perfect as he is perfect, unless it was a possibility, was it? He didn't tell me to do something that's impossible. It's not something just for a special select few. Right now it's for first fruit. Later on it'll be for the rest of them. But right now it's for first fruit. But she called his name Ur, which means watchful and awake. And she conceived again and bare a son, called his name Onan, which means strong. And that's the Adamic man, you know, the strength of humanity. And she again conceived and bare a son, called his name Shelah. And what does that mean? Petition or a request. And she called his name Shelah, and he was at where? Shezeb, when she bare him. You know what Shezeb means? It's falsehood or deception. So he bare the fruit of what? Lies and deception. He went the wrong way. He went back to the flesh instead of ascending to the spirit realm. Isn't that right? If I go to the flesh, I'm going to reap the flesh. And it says, and Judah took a wife for Ur, the one of strength, the one that's watchful and awake, his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. And Tamar means what? Palm tree. What does palm tree represent? Victory. So now he went and got a seed of the flesh to bring to her, and her name means victory. And I wonder who won this victory, Judah or Tamar? Tamar did. Tamar's one. She got him in the flesh. See, the negative got him, didn't he? Because he went the wrong direction. He reaped what he sowed. And the watchful one wasn't very watchful because he let her get him. Judah's firstborn was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord did what? Well, God don't do bad things, says the church world. Right? Says God slew him. He took his life because he done something that was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Correct? And Judah said to Onan, go into your brother's wife, marry her, raise up seed to your brother. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his. And it came to pass when he went into his brother's wife that he spilled on the ground lest he should give seed to his brother. Tell me something about that man's nature, Onan. Means strong, speaks of the Adamic man. Now what did he do? More than disobedience. Something else. Okay. Another word I'm looking for to explain better. How about I? Selfish, self-centered, conceited. All these things that the natural man has, he had. What did it take from him to give seed to his brother's wife? Nothing. Selfishness. He wanted to do it his own way. Pride. Boy, pride just rolling in this man. He could have a son, but it wouldn't carry his name. That's all it is flesh. Okay. I had someone one time, very close person, who was, in fact, there was two different particular people, and both of them needed vehicles. And I don't co-sign for a lot of people. I don't think that's real wisdom, and the Bible even teaches a co-sign for people is not real wise. You better know who you're dealing with. But these people were pretty close, and I had agreed to co-sign for the one, and this one female, and she was very upset because the loan company would not permit her to have the vehicle unless my name went on the title, even though I co-signed for it. But she still bowed down. She needed the vehicle real bad, so she took it. But the gentleman that I wanted to sign for, I ended up not signing for him because he absolutely refused to drive a new vehicle with my name on it. It'd be a co-title, you know, for both of us. I don't want it. You know, you can have it. And I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll sell you my vehicle and I'll go buy a new one because I had a new van at the time. I said, I'll sell it to you and buy another one. And that way you can pay me as you go, you know, and you won't have to worry about it. If I can't drive a new one, my own name on it, I'll walk. So he drove an old vehicle that was 150,000 miles on it, wore out. Rather than drive a new van, costing money, constantly in a repair shop, downtime, couldn't get out and work because the vehicle down, in pride. See, that's what humanity does. Somebody wants to help you. What difference does it make whose name's on what? Do it. I mean, it's the best for your family, but nope, pride won't let you do it. And that's what this Onan had here. He had a lot of pride. And the thing which he did displeased, and literally what the language says here, there's words that's not brought out. So the thing that he did was displeasing in the eyes of the Lord. it was displeasing in the eyes of the Lord. And therefore, he slew him also. But God don't do bad things, right? Pride goes for destruction and a haughty heart before a fall. Okay? And they went down. And then said Judah to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remain a widow in your father's house till that request is made, see, my son be grown, because he said, lest he die also as his brethren did. And Tamar went and dwelt in the father's house. Now, what do you think's going on here? Go wait for it. Go wait for it. She did what she was supposed to. She kept her end of the bargain. But somebody else had fear in his life. True? Judah, who was supposed to be the man of God, did he have faith in his life? He wasn't trusting in what was supposed to be. It was displeasing in God's eyes because his sons were the problem. They brought upon themselves. They reaped what they sowed, and he's taking fear because of the next son. Seed produces like kind. But see, he's never dealt with fear. It's all wrapped into that man called humanity. So he's got all this fear, and he's fearful of his children, just like Job was fearful for his children. And he didn't want her to have him because he was afraid he would die. So tell me what he was doing in essence. What was he doing to her? What was he doing to her? He was prejudging her. He was blaming her for his son's death. Was it her fault? No. God had this chosen, and the sons were trying to change something. God said, I want a seed from this line. You don't know what God's going to produce out of that. Leave it alone. So, they were trying to say no to God, but God gets his way. His plans and purposes will prevail. Okay. So she went and did what she was asked to do. And in the process of time, the daughter of Shua, and the word daughter of Shua here, right? And actually the word Shua is the daughter, it says the daughter, it should say the Hebrew word should say Beth Shua or Bathshua. What does that mean? Daughter of wealth. The daughter of wealth, Judah's wife, died, and Judah was what? He wasn't comforted. He mourned. He was sorry she died. He didn't want to lose her. And he went up to his sheep shearers to Timnath. What is Timnath? It's a portion or assigned. A portion assigned or a portion. Okay. So he went where he was supposed to be. Now notice what direction he went now. He went down to start. What's he doing now? He went up. That was his assigned portion. Whether you like it or not, God chooses where you go in the fellowship. Does he not? It says he places you in the body where it chooses him, where it pleases him. What's written in Corinthians, Paul said he puts you in the body where he chooses. He went down, but God's getting his way. Absolutely. Jonah didn't get his way. He just thought he did. He showed him his way wasn't the way he'd like. So he goes up to his sheep shears in his assigned place. He and his friends, Hira, the one of splendor, the noble race, the Adullamite, where the justice was. And it was told Tamar, saying, behold, your father-in-law goes up to Timnath to shear his sheep. And she put on her widow's garments, put her widow's garments off from her, and covered her with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in an open place, which is by the road to Timnath. Because she saw that Shelah, right, the request which she had was grown, and she was not given to him to wife. Now, she saw something. She was being deceived. She was being lied to. So she decides, I'm going to get what is mine. She did what she was going after, what she wanted, what was promised to her. And if someone says you can have something, and they don't give it to you, and you go to pick it up, is that wrong? If someone gave it to you, but then they didn't give it to you. So she's going after what was promised her. Book says to seek the best gifts. And this gift of life was there for her. This seed was for her. And Judah was trying to deny her that seed. And when Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot. Again, he misjudged her, did he not? She took off the outward appearance of death because she was seeking something. She was seeking life and not death. And so people who live in death do not recognize people who live in life. anytime you leave the harlot system, what will they say you are? A heretic. You're a bad person. You're going to hell. No, when God takes you from that system and brings you to life, you're not going to be accepted by anybody else. And immediately people will misjudge you. They'll say you're a bad person. Well, let them say it. That's where they're at. And he turned to her by the road and said, okay, the word for says go to should say this. Come now, or come on. Let me come into you, because he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, what will you give me that you may that you mayest come to me? And he said, I will send you a kid or a young female goat from the flock. And she said, will you give me a pledge till you send it? Why did she say that? She knew his nature was he lied to her before. He said he was going to do something, didn't give it to her, didn't he? So this time she's learned something. She's going to take a pledge from him. I'm going to get something of value from him until he gives me what he said. She really wasn't looking for a goat, was she? She was looking for the life of God through the seed, okay? Through the seed that came from Abraham. And he said, what do you desire that I give you? And she said, your signature ring, and your bracelets or your cords, okay? That they wore on the brace, they wore little bracelets, like little strings around their wrist. Little pieces of leather, no doubt. And that it's kind of come back into style today, hasn't it? And your staff. So what are they really talking about here? First, your ring was your identity. Used it as a signature. You sealed things with that ring they wore. So it was his identity. And the three cords, it says in Ecclesiastes 12, it says that a threefold cord is not easily broken. So what's it talking about? A threefold cord is not easily broken. What's he talking about? Relationship. It's relationship. So in this bracelet, they were talking of relationship. Okay? And in the staff, what are they talking about? Authority. So there's identity, relationship, and authority. She wanted his identity because he was of the seed of Abraham, was he not? She wanted his relationship, which brings about the authority. She said, I want these things, and there's nothing wrong with desiring them things. And there's a lot of things you've got to do that people will look down upon you. I think Lloyd brought up this morning, sometimes it's hard to be what God asks you to be, but you've got to do it anyway. And people will misjudge you and look down upon you when you do it. She played the harlot, but don't you know God used that? What about Rahab, the one they called the harlot? She brought about the lineage of Christ. Come on. We got to get this Puritan mentality out of our head and realize God uses everything upon the earth for his benefit, not just the righteous stuff. He uses all these vessels for any way he wants to use them. That's what this book teaches. But see, man has tried to clean it up and put their own views in it, and God's saying, no, 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 no. If I don't experience the negative, will I ever know what the positive is? There's no life in anything in this universe, whether it be plants, animals or humans, birds, fish, any kind of animal or anything that has life on this whole universe has positive and negative. And yet the church world, who says they're bringing life to you, wants to remove the negative and only be the positive. Well, without that, there is no life. We need to wake up. Anyway, he gave it to her. And he came to her and she conceived by him. And she arose and went away and laid her by her veil and from her, and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the young female goat by the hand of his friend the Adullamite, who was who? Hira. And to receive his pledge to the woman's hand. But he found her not. Then he asked the men of the place, saying, where is the harlot that was openly by the road? And the place was Adonim. Okay? The name of the thing. And it's a double fountain. This place that she was at was called Anim. It's in the language. It's not in the writings here, but it's in the language in the original writings. You can see that in the Hebrew. She was by the road of Anim. And the word Anim means what? Double fountain. E-N-A-I-M. She was by the road at Anim. E-N-A-I-M. It's 5879 in the Strong's Dictionary. And it means a double fountain. She was in a place of duality yet herself. And so many of us in our life are in a place of duality, but we're still seeking the life of God, the duality. She went and got the seed, but see, in conception is not totality. The conception is only the beginning point of this. She was beginning to understand who she was and what relationship she wanted with God, just beginning this thing. And in this relationship she had with Judah brought about the life, but she was still in deception. And it's the same with everybody else. We're sitting in the harlot system of the church system of man in religion, and God comes and impregnates us by the Spirit. Just as Jesus was conceived in the womb of his mother by the Holy Spirit, true? It's the same immaculate conception in your life and my life. We've got the garments of death on us called flesh and religion, but yet God comes and gives us the seed of life unbeknownst to anybody else. No one else knows you got it. When any of the ladies in here were pregnant, did anybody know you was pregnant but you to start with? You're the only one who knew it. No one could recognize you're pregnant until somewhere down the road, till this life begins to show. And she arose and went her way. Okay, and Judah laid the kid, where am I at? Down 21. And they said, there is no harlot there. There is no harlot there. There's no harlot there. What are they really saying? There is no harlot there. God showed me they're saying something greater than this. There is no adultery in what God is teaching us. That through this duality is where we come to life. So why would there be adultery there? Why would there be harlotry there? If, why would there be a prostitution there? If that's the way God used to bring you to it. They're prejudging. God's not judging us, is he? He put us in this mess. It says the creation in Romans 8 was subjected to vanity, not willingly. So how could he judge me as being adulterous when he put me here? This is his method of showing something to us. There's no condemnation and guilt in the mistakes we make in our life. I shared with my daughter one time who was upset with me and still don't speak to me to this day. I said, you know, you can judge me for not being a good father when I was a young man, because I was a young man and I was self-centered, and that's okay. And I'll accept the responsibility of being not a good father because I was still a kid myself. But now that I've grown and I understand who I am in God, I will accept that responsibility, but I will not carry guilt and condemnation, because that was meant to be in your life to help you grow. And you can do one of two things. You can get bitter or you can get better. Your choice, not mine. And I said, I'm not mad at you, and if you go away and never speak to me again, which she hasn't, that's her business. I'm not mad at her. If she walked back in my life today, it'd be like she never left as far as I'm concerned. I still love her just as much, and my granddaughter, and I might even have more grandkids don't even know about. But still, I'm not angry. I realize that this is God's tools. And I was a tool in the hand of God at the time. David cried out in Psalms, deliver me from the wicked, which is your sword. God's sword to sharpen us is the flesh in humanity. Iron sharpens iron. So does a man his friend's countenance. By the things we do in life, we offend people. And didn't Jesus say offenses must come? See, we got to have these things, and trying to remove them is only going to keep us in that mess that we're in. The only thing that'll move us off that center line is some kind of pressure. So God provides the pressure. No matter how it comes, it's okay. And the men of the place said, there is no harlot here. Hira returned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. And also the men of that place said, there's no harlot in this place. And Judah said, let her take it to her, lest we be ashamed. Let me say what it really says. I think the NAS says it very well. It says, let her keep them as his security, you know, as their security, his ring, his cords, and his staff. Let her keep them as her security. Otherwise, we will be what? Ashamed or disgraced, right? Behold, I sent this young female goat, but you have not found her. He said, I've done what I could, but I can't find her. I don't know who she is yet, see? And this is what it is. When you come to this identity, the seed of Christ comes in you, do you think anybody else will recognize it? Only you're going to recognize it. Only when you have went down the road through your journey of life and began to produce that life that God has planted within you, are you going to be recognized by someone else? When you first begin to speak the things of God that are strange to the people of religion, you're going to be a harlot. You're going to be an adulteress. You're going to be a heretic. Okay? Don't worry about that. All you have to realize is, I got to do what God's got me to do. We're as unique as our fingerprints. If my fingerprint's different than yours, my DNA's different than yours, guess what? Then you can't be like me, can you? You've got to do what God's got for you. I'm not trying to make everybody be Davites, okay? You've got to be Godites. You've got to be like him, not me. And I'll be like him in the way God has made me to be like him, and you've got to be like him the way he's made you to be like him. I'm not trying to get everybody to walk like a bunch of ducks in a row, because if you've got a bunch of ducks in a row, you got your nose up somebody's butt, and you don't need that, do you? You want to be as individual as God has created you to be, and that's not like everybody else. Come on, we got to think about these things. You got to be different. Doesn't mean we don't love each other, we don't fellowship. It just means I got to be who God's created me to be. Think about that. You got to be free to do that. You can't let someone tell you how to think. I don't tell you how to think, do I? I want to encourage you to use what God has given you, and everything will be all right. And it came to pass about 3 months later that it was told to Judah, Tamar, your daughter-in-law has committed adultery, and she is with child by the adultery. And Judah said, bring her forth and burn her. Don't that sound like religion? You make a mistake, what do they want to do with you? Burn you. They don't recognize the life of God within your belly, in your spirit. All they recognize is you didn't do it their way. You didn't follow their doctrines and their tenets and their commandments. See, when you follow the doctrines of God, you will not walk in the way they walk. And the scripture does say they'll think it's strange when you don't run in excess and riot with them. Yeah. Well, he didn't know what he had done yet. He didn't know that's his grandchild there. Well, see, here's the thing. He saw himself as the natural man. The natural man can always justify what he does. See, the natural man always justifies. And justifying is what? Just a lying. See, we lie to ourselves. We lie the loudest when we lie to ourselves. And when we lie to someone else, and I got these little sayings in my office because I deal with a lot of people and they have problems telling the truth, you know. So when they tell me things, I'll just point to these little things in my office and refer them to them. It says we lie the loudest when we lie to ourselves. Lying kind of has a respect with it, an honor with it. Because when you lie to somebody, you're saying you're superior to me and I'm trying to bring myself to where I think you are. That's a hierarchy, yes it is. That's a hierarchy. You're lying to someone because you think they're superior and you're trying to get to the same level you think they're on. See? Don't lie. Tell them the truth. You think they're on, not what they are. See? But burn her. See? And when she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law saying, by the man whose these are, am I with child? And she said, not discern. That word isn't even in there. It should say, please examine now whose these are, these signet and these bracelets or cords and staff are. And Judah acknowledged them and said, she's been more righteous than I because that I gave her not to Shelah my son, and he knew her again no more. What did he do? He said, she's right. He was embarrassed. He was ashamed that he did not give seed by the manner it was prescribed. And she went and got what was rightfully hers. And he acknowledged, she is more righteous than me. And he was the man of God. He stood on emotion, fear, right? He was afraid his son might die, so he didn't give the seed that was supposed to be passed on. But you can't trick God in any way. You can say, well, I'm not giving my son. Well, God will get that seed one way or the other. He wants it, he'll get it. Okay. I don't believe for 1 minute you can say no to God. The only reason you can say no to God is because God wants you to say no. And then I still see it's his purpose. And it came to pass at the time of her travail, when she was giving birth, behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass while she was giving birth, that one of them put out his hand, and the midwife took the and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this came out first. So he had rights of firstborn, right? And it came to pass, as he drew back his hand, that behold, the brother came out, and she said, how hast thou broken forth? This breach is upon you. Therefore his name was called Perez. Now, what does that word Perez mean? It means a breach or division or a rupture. Okay? He broke forth when he wasn't supposed to. He kind of like Esau and Jacob, huh? And afterwards came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zerah. Now, look what's going on. Man has one idea. And see, man has always tried to usurp the authority of God. Is that true? Man's always tried to take the place of God. Well, here comes the first son out, and his name is Zerah. And yet, Perez came out first. He tried to usurp the authority of God. But his works was already marked by a scarlet thread, wasn't it? His works were already set. He's the man of God. God never used in all of his patterns the first son, did he? Everybody said, well, Jesus. No. Adam was that first son brought forth, wasn't he? Did he use him? He was only a pattern. The reality came in the second son, didn't it? The last son, Christ. The last son, Jesus, who was the Christ. And it's the same thing here. The first one showed his works. Look here. He showed his hand out there. He showed his works. Was he accepted? Was Christ's work accepted? No. So here comes the flesh. And the flesh came out and took over, didn't it? But yet the marking was already upon him. Could he change that? Never change it. And his name, Zerah, his name means rising or east or brightness. So what's it really trying to say? The rising sun. He was the son of Christ that was rising in the earth. Same thing going on in your life. Christ was in your identity. In, I think it's James chapter 1, verse 23, it said the man beholds his face in a looking glass, beholds his natural face. And the church world was taught that that's Adam. Uh-uh. That word beginning face, is that natural face, is Genesis face. And see, so he missed the point of who he really was because they listened to what someone told you versus seeing what it says yourself. But now let's look at something else. There was two men in her belly. Don't you realize that she, Tamar, was who we are? Tamar was us. There was two trees in the garden, wasn't there? Come on. Same thing. There was two trees in this garden. Her womb, her forest produced two trees. One of the flesh, the natural mind, the good and evil, and one of the Christ, the one that had the scarlet band on his works. I mean, the pattern's everywhere, isn't it? And it can't be changed. No matter what you try to do, that seed will get where it's going because God said so. End of discussion for today. For today. This is a continuing saga if you don't know it yet. Continuing saga of knowing who we are. Any questions, comments, or anything?